Genesis, please. Genesis, the 4th chapter. Also, Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Genesis, the 4th chapter. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. We're going to be reading just a little bit from each one. We'll stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Genesis 4. Genesis 4. Start reading at verse number 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Then we'll turn over to the book of Hebrews. And we'll start reading at verse number 18, please, of the 12th chapter of Hebrews. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burneth with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto the Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Let us pray. Father, again today I'm so thankful and grateful for your wonderful, wonderful love for us. And I thank you for the precious blood of thy wonderful Son. How good he is, how wonderful, and what that precious blood did for us in washing away our sin, cleansing us from all of our sin. And Father, once again today as we preach this message, this preacher certainly needs your power. I need your help. I need you, for Lord, this morning especially to give me clarity of mind. Help me, Lord. You know the need of this preacher, and I ask you for it. So, Father, once again, we ask you to take the message, use it to thy glory. And, Lord, should there be any here unsaved, I pray this morning, Father, and ask you, God, to save that one. Reminded again this morning of the wonderful news of salvation of Brother Dave Simpson's father. God, I just want to thank you again. I want to say thank you for that. What a precious, wonderful thing it is. And I thank you for it. And, Father, it'd be good if we'd have someone else saved here this morning. Lord, someone that just doesn't know you and just decided that, Lord, they need to get saved. And what a great thing it'd be. And I pray for that. Pray also, Lord, you just bless the Christians' hearts and help us, Lord, to love you like we ought to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. We're going to be preaching a message which I've entitled The Blood of Abel and the Blood of Jesus. The Blood of Abel and the Blood of Jesus. I really cannot imagine what it must have been like when the first human being was slain and his blood began to run out of him and into the ground. You know, we're pretty much hardened to those kind of things today. Violence doesn't mean too much to people today because they see so much of it. It's everywhere, of course, on TV. That kind of violence is just on practically every program, it seems like. And blood everywhere, people getting killed, type of shows that demonstrate these type of things. And yet we find here an individual who slew his brother, and it had never happened any time before that. This was a first. And from that brother, from the body of Abel, began to run out the blood, the very life of that individual. And of course, the Bible tells us that the earth swallowed it up. Now, folks, I don't know how you think about it, because as again I say, it seems like it's kind of not new to us and not as important to us. But I've tried to think over a lot of times what Cain must have thought about. I wonder how he felt when the blood, literal blood, began to pour out of his brother Abel, and his brother Abel began to die. I wondered if maybe he thought it was all over when he saw the earth swallow up his blood. I think maybe he just thought, well, that's past, and we'll never have to hear about that again. I don't know what he thought, of course. Over in verse 11, it just says, "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." I wondered maybe if he thought, there's no one here to accuse me. There's no one here that saw me do it. He probably wouldn't have thought these things, but maybe no law, no policeman to take care of it, no judge to judge me, no firing squad or gallows to have to face, any of those kind of things. Those thoughts, I'm sure, did not go through his mind because he didn't know anything about it and didn't know what was the result of shedding a man's blood. But there was a mysterious voice that day that went up from up beyond the skies into heaven to our Heavenly Father. And that voice, the Bible says, was the blood of Abel. You see, it touched the heart of our internal God, the God who had made us. It touched his heart, and he understood, he knew, and let me say to you, there's no blood shed that God does not know about. It's not shed secretly. We take it so lightly, but God knows every individual that falls. He knows every sparrow that falls. The Bible teaches us. He knows all about those things. And so I'm simply saying, I've wondered many times about that and how Cain must have helped. And then I got to thinking about how terrible it was, though, when the Son of Man, the Son of God, was slaughtered. He died on the cross of Calvary. His blood also was shed for our sins. Took him to judgment. Took him to the judgment seat. They accused him falsely. We know the whole story, how they give him a mock trial. They took him, nailed him on the cross, lifted his body upon that cross, and then, of course, they watched him till he died. They pierced his side, and the Bible, of course, tells us the blood and water flowed out. You got to remember something. This was not just some human being. This was God the Son. And we find again Pilate going then and washing his hands and thinking more than likely that it's all over. It's behind me. I have nothing to do with this. And so he went and he like I say, he washed his hands, thinking probably he would never have to hear of this situation anymore. The scribes, the Pharisees, in many ways, I'm sure, were glad that that accusing voice was silenced. The woe unto you, scribes and you Pharisees, they probably thought they would never have to hear again. And they heard it many times during the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he come bringing truth, telling truth, knowing all things, and putting the blame where it belonged. I'm sure maybe that day they thought, well, finally, we've got rid of this man who has accused us over and over and over. Pilate washed his hands, thinking more than likely, it's done, it's behind us. We don't have to worry about this anymore. But also that day there was a voice that had already went up out of Jerusalem. His blood be on us and on our children. And that's what they said. His blood be on us and our children. And sure enough, it certainly was. But let me say to you, it was not just there. It also was upon us all. The blood of Jesus Christ, although certainly the Jews were responsible for bringing him to the judgment seat, remember something, they were not the only one responsible for him hanging there. It was for us all. But I'm so thankful, that another cry went up that day, and it was not a cry of vengeance, but it was a cry that went up and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Thank God for that wonderful cry. And you know, all the blood that's been shed across this world in all of these years, since the very beginning of time, Abel being the first one having his blood shed, that cry that day on Calvary's cross said, "I'll forgive every one of them." Every single one of them. Even Cain was offered forgiveness that day for his terrible sin. Thank God for that wonderful cry that went up from Calvary's cross, Father, forgive them, you see. Both of these bloods spoke. One of them spoke of vengeance. One of them spoke, as you will read, and maybe we'll take time to read in a few moments, though, there was a cry out for vengeance for the blood of Cain, for Abel. And yet the other cry, though, was the cry of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a cry of forgiveness and mercy. Thank God for that. I don't know about you. I'm sure I think you probably feel the same way I do. But isn't it wonderful to know that all sin, I don't care what it is, can be forgiven? Isn't that wonderful that Jesus Christ, when His blood was shed, He cried out that we was to be forgiven. He called for mercy and forgiveness for us. Thank God for that. And let me assure you this morning, no matter what sin you've done, no matter where you're at, what it is, don't make a difference what it is in your past, whatever you have done, that wonderful cry that went up from the cross was meant for you.
Amen.
And for me. Amen. And what a wonderful blessing that is. I'm glad that the cry of Jesus was not a cry of vengeance. I'm thankful it was a cry of forgiveness and mercy, and that's exactly what it was. You see, the Bible says that Jesus' blood in Hebrews speaks of better things. Abel's blood, of course, as we said, spoke of vengeance and crying out for vengeance. And certainly, he was faithful to God Almighty, and because of that, he offered the right sacrifice, as you know in the Scripture. He brought the correct sacrifice. He brought the blood offering, the right sacrifice. Cain did not do that. But thank God, Jesus also was faithful to God. He did not just offer a sacrifice. He was the sacrifice. He was the sacrifice that every single one of us needs. And I know many times we have a tendency to put sin in categories and try to say that this sin, you know, is more terrible than that sin. But let me just simply say to you that we've all sinned. No matter what that is, I know we have the original sin, but all of us have sinned. There isn't a person in this room this morning that has not sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've got to remember that. And that cry that went up or came off of that cross was for you and for me. Forgiveness and mercy, thank God for it. What a marvelous, wonderful thing it is. So I don't want you to sit this morning. Satan would have you feeling all guilty about your sin, how terrible it is. But I want to tell you something. Jesus forgave it. Amen. Jesus wiped it clean and forgave it. You've got to remember that, you see. Sometimes we have trouble forgetting our sin. But God buried it in the deepest sea. He separated as far as from the east is from the west. And that's forever. And so I want you to know, remember, Jesus forgives us. When we accept Him as our personal Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ washes us, cleanses us from all of our sin, and we're forgiven for an eternity. Amen? So that's a wonderful thing, you see. Abel's blood was merely a shadow, you see. But Jesus didn't typify the atonement. He was the atonement. He didn't just look forward to something. No, He was it. This morning we had communion service. What did we remember? Oh, we remembered His broken body for us, you see. We remembered His shed blood for us, you see. He is and was and always will be the sacrifice for sin, you see. And He done it for us, you see. So the blood of Jesus Christ speaketh better things than that of Abel, you see. Let's look for a few moments at maybe some of the things maybe that the blood of Abel might have cried out, might have said. You know, he said, might have said, God, it's one of your masterpieces here that has been slain. You got to remember something. He was one of God's first creatures. There was Adam, there was Eve, there was Cain, and then Abel. He was the fourth that God had allowed to come upon this earth. And here we find one of the very masterpieces of God. Something God had created, a wonderful blessing that God had created. And here we find that Cain had destroyed that. You remember how God is the potter. He shapes and forms. He's the one that has made. I want to say to you this morning, He made you this morning. He didn't make you just like He did Adam. He was created in God's own image. And He didn't form you as the first man. But let me say to you, every person that's ever been born upon the face of this earth has been born because God decided it and God allowed them to be born. God formed us. And let me say again to you, God made you the way He wants you to be. Sometimes we get all upset. Maybe somebody's got a big old nose here, and they say, "Why have I got that big nose?" Says that's because God wants you to have that big nose. You got a big nose, don't you worry about it. You can't do anything about that. Now I've got a big tummy, I can do something about that, but I can't do anything about this old nose I got, you see. There's some things I can do about, and some things I can't do about. But when God made you and give you the features, you see, that He gave you, He made you just like He wanted you. Amen. And sometimes we want to gripe at what God made us, you see. Don't do that. Don't get mad at what God made you. God made you just like He wants you to be made. Don't gripe about that. You're the unique person. There's none like you. You young people out there, sometimes you want to be like some movie star or some big athlete or something. Don't you do that. You just be who you are. God made you. He loves you. Made you just exactly the way He wants you to be made. He made your ears just like He wants them. Amen. He didn't make any holes in them either. He just made your ears just like He wants them. Amen? Amen? Yeah? He just made them just exactly like He wants. He made your mouth just the way He made it. He formed it. Amen? And you know what? He'd rather it turn up than down, but it's still your mouth. God made it, see? He'd rather you turn it up like that. You see, so you've got to say, "I got great big long arms, Brother Ross." Well, God gave them to you. "I got great big feet. Man, my feet are big." Well, God made them that way. Quit griping the way God made you. You're just doing all right. Amen. God made you that way. He formed you. He created you. He's you're just the way He wants you to be. You see? Now, all those things that maybe we can control, we need to do a little better job on some of those things. But folks, He just made you the way you are. Amen. So we need to remember that He's a great God. He's the potter. He's the one that does the forming, you see, of those things. And so I say to you, I'm sure the cry went up. One of your masterpieces has been destroyed, you know, and it's been destroyed without cause. And let me say to you, it was without cause, you see. Basically, he was destroyed because of his faith in God. See, Cain didn't like his faith in God. Cain didn't like Abel being so faithful. He brought the right masterpiece, you see. He didn't like that thing, you see. Everybody look right up here. See, he formed a masterpiece, you see. And Abel did what God wanted him to do and bring the right sacrifice, you see. He did that. That's why he ended up dead, you see. I'm going to say something to you, folks. You keep the right sacrifice. Just stand with Jesus. Walk with God. Serve Him. And there'll be people that might want to kill you. There might be people that, sir, going to hate you. They're not going to like you very much. But you just keep standing for Jesus, you see. That's what Abel did. And it didn't make a difference. Cain slew him. But Abel just done what was right. Amen. Just keep doing what's right, no matter what. No matter what anybody else says. You know, if they laugh at you, don't make a difference. Amen. Just keep walking with God. Keep serving God. Keep doing right. Let them laugh at you. Let them mock you. I don't know all those things. Just let them do it. Because it don't make a difference. You see, God is control, you see. Just walk with God, no matter what anybody else said, you see. And not only that, to some degree, it was shed. The blood of Abel was shed in defiance against God Almighty. If you look over here at verse number 4, it says, "And Abel, he also brought a firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." Now, do you know why he had respect to that offering? It was a blood offering. That's what it was all about. You see, the blood. See, that's the only thing that washes away sin. It's the blood. So it's a blood offering. So he says in verse 5, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." See, it made Cain mad. He was mad, you see, because God didn't even accept his offering. And so let me say to you, even in the slaying of his brother, to some degree, that was in defiance against God Almighty. You see, if you read on down there, I don't think we read all of those, but you read on down there, he made him to till the ground in verse number 12, and would yield unto him their strength. The ground would not yield her strength unto him. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. You see, and Cain cried out and said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. I want to tell you something, he was going to have to suffer that for the rest of his life. And God even put a mark on him so that they would not come and slay Cain, you see. But his life was not a life of joy. His life was hardships, you see. That's what sin brings. I'm sure you already know that. Oh, sin brings hardships. The original sin certainly brings hardships. But let me say something to you, folks. You live in sin, it'll bring hardships to your life. Folks just don't realize what living in sin does. Multitudes of time down through my years, I've looked at someone and said, boy, they look hard. And most of the time, it's because of the result of old sin in their life. You see, they can get saved. Certainly they can. They get forgiven. Certainly they can. But then old features over their face is just hard because of the sin they've been living in, you see. That's what will happen to you, you see. You live in sin, you see. And so we find here that Cain, his life was like hell on earth. He feared. He was scared. No rejoicing in his life, you see, for the rest of his life. Now let's look for a few moments and see what the blood of Jesus said, you see. Let's just for a moment kind of stand there at the cross of Calvary and remember what Jesus done for us. How wonderful it was there on that day. Although it may have seemed terrible to mankind, is the most wonderful thing that has happened. Jesus there on that cross shedding his blood for you and I that we might have eternal life. What a marvelous thing it is. You know, this was the Son of God. This was God the Son that was dying there, you see. He done so willingly, but you got to understand, this is God the Son dying. See, this was not normal man dying. This was God the Son. This was the perfect Son of God. And it was the will of the Father, the will of the Heavenly Father, for him to die for your sins and my sins, you see. You know, in fact, he even died for the Father. You say, he died for me. No, he died for the Father also. He vindicated his honor. He died because the Father asked him to. They had communion together and they talked about it. And way before the ages ever begun, it was all settled that Jesus was going to come and die for mankind. The Father knew all about it. Jesus didn't have to convince the Father, will you forgive them if I die for them? No, the Father said, you go die for them and I'll forgive them. We've got to get a plan out here, you see. We've got to do something so these people can spend eternity with us in heaven. So you see, he died to vindicate the honor of the Heavenly Father, you see. And it was the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed. And let me say to you, though, it was shed also for others. It's what we got to remember, you see. He didn't shed his blood for himself. He shed the blood for us, for others. And don't ever forget that. Remember that, you see, when you serve, when you live, you want to be like Jesus, then live for others. Amen? Quit living for self. Live for others. That's the way Jesus did. Say, oh, I want to be like Jesus. Well, I think God wants us to be like Jesus. Well, if we be like Jesus, we'll live for others. Amen. We'll be more concerned right now about whether making sure everything is going good here in the preaching so others can hear the preaching instead of goofing around ourselves. Amen. I mean, we'll want people to hear the preaching. We'll want people to get saved this morning, you see. We'll want that. Why? Because of others. You see, we ought to live for others, you see. That's what Jesus did. And we ought to also live for him. You see, and now, after the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, after his shed blood, he can say to those who have sinned, Father, forgive them. And God the Father says, I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them because you've paid the penalty and the sacrifice for sin. Folks, do you understand that? You remember that this morning? Can you just kind of thank God for it this morning? During communion service, did you thank God for it this morning? Isn't Jesus wonderful, what he's done for you this morning? Well, let's live like that. Let's thank God, you see, for what he has done. I'm so thankful because he tells us that as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. That's forever. You see, you keep going east and keep going west and never will the twain meet. See, that's what he meant. He said, just keep going. See, that's how far your sins are removed from you. Isn't it wonderful also that he said he's going to bury him in the deepest sea? Yeah, he's just going to bury him in the sea. See, he can't find him anymore, you see. It's a marvelous thing what God has done for us, you see. And that's sin that he's taken from us. That's sin he's done that for us, you see. He's done that for us. That's a marvelous, wonderful thing. That's what the blood of Jesus did. That's why he said it spoke of better things than the blood of Abel. See, it spoke of forgiveness. And we want to carry those sins around with us. Listen, folk, we told in our Sunday school class, and I don't know whether I told everybody that or not, but we had a little saying. It wasn't my original saying, but I read it somewhere. But he says, when Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. I love that. I mean, you know, Satan, you want to bring up my past, I want to talk about your future, bud. You're going to spend it in eternity, in a devil's hell forever. Let's talk about that. Where am I going to spend? Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be with Jesus. Amen. Amen? I'm going to be with Jesus. You see, what a marvelous, wonderful thing it is. See, you've got to remember something. Don't let old Satan bring your past up and kill you with that thing, make you feel all guilty when it's under the blood. If it's under the blood, it's under the blood. It's forgiven. It's cleansed, you see. And you got to, don't let him get you down. Don't let him tear you apart, you see. Just remind him. Talk about his future a little while. And he'll get off your back, you see, after a bit. He'll do that, you see. So anyway, we just need to remember, you see, it was not the voice of Cain that brought vengeance, but it was the voice of the blood of Abel that cried out for vengeance, you see. But thank God it was not the cry of the sinner that caused mercy, but it was the cry of the blood of Jesus that cried out for mercy. You see, it wasn't us. We didn't look to God and say, oh God, you got to provide a way for us. No, God had that all planned. And the blood of Jesus cried out for mercy for us and forgiveness for us. And thank God for that, you see. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God it's not the cry from the blood of Abel, which cried out for vengeance. Thank God it's forgiveness and mercy in Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord, you see. Christ's blood does not plead for the innocent because there isn't any. We're all guilty. No, he cries out for the guilty. He doesn't say, hey, they're innocent. Let's not send them to hell. They're innocent. No, he says, they're guilty, but I paid for it. I went to the cross. I paid for it, you see. What a marvelous thing. All is guilty. Do you know you're guilty this morning? You know you're guilty this morning? Everybody? You're just as guilty as you can be. So is this preacher. Just as guilty as I can be. I'm an old sinner saved by grace. Amen. Thank God for that, you see. Jesus didn't say, hey, they're innocent. No, we can't send them. No, no, he said, they're guilty, but I'll pay the cost for them, you see. That's the difference, you see, in the cry of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood. So the Bible tells us in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, you see, that his blood speaketh a better thing than the blood of Abel, you see. It speaketh better, thank God, you see. It speaketh about forgiveness, you see. It pleads for us to come to him because forgiveness has already been provided. The blood of Jesus is the answer for everything. See? Answer. You need to be sure this morning. Listen to me. You need to be sure that you're under the blood. You're not under church membership. Better be sure you're not under baptism this morning or good works this morning. Better be sure you're under the blood. You know, that song said, "He shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more." You see, that's it. It'll never lose its power. The blood of Jesus Christ will never, ever lose its power, you see. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Are you under the blood? It's the only thing God will accept. He won't accept anything else. He won't accept your goodness. He won't accept your church membership. He won't accept your baptism. He won't accept anything else but the blood of his wonderful, wonderful son, you see. It was the blood of Abel that brought condemnation, you see. But it's the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that brings forgiveness, you see. Isn't that wonderful? Marvelous. The blood of Jesus Christ that brings forgiveness. I think about all the abuse and all the things in this world. I think about what it must be to have been a time, whether it be in war, whether it be in some other way of someone killing another individual. That must be a horrible thing. But thank God there's forgiveness. Thank God for the murderer, for the worst murderer that ever been on the face of the earth. God will forgive him. Do you know that? Isn't that marvelous? You see, you've got to remember God, Jesus' blood cries out for mercy and love and kindness, you see, and wants to forgive. Thank God for that, you see. But this old world cries out for vengeance, you see, all the time. I think about what's going on in this world today and all the abuse and all the problems and all the troubles that's going on, all that sometimes these little children have to go through, and it just literally grieves my heart. But you know, the very worst of offender can go to Jesus Christ and cry out for forgiveness, and God will forgive him. And you just can't get it any better than that. Amen? That's what the blood of Jesus Christ did. It speaks of better things, you see, than the blood of Abel. And I think about how I put him there. I helped put him on the cross of Calvary. It was my sin that did that, but he'd done it willingly. Went to the cross of Calvary so that he could die, shed his blood there for my sins, you see. Now, we'll look back in the book of Hebrews, please, just for a few moments. 12th chapter, book of Hebrews. Look at verse number 22. He says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." If you'll notice in verse 22, it says, "But ye are come." You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to come to Jesus Christ. You see, they fled from the blood of Abel. Cain fled, but he invites us to come to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's telling us. You've got to come to him. You've got to realize you're a sinner. You've got to realize you need saved. You've got to realize that Jesus died for you and he'll save you and give you eternal life. You've got to come to him, you see. His blood speaketh of better things, you see. Better things, wonderful things. In Colossians, the first chapter, he says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." His blood brought forgiveness of sin. This morning you're not saved, or you're here this morning and your sin still, you're carrying that old guilt of sin. Don't you understand Jesus' blood has forgiven you? Don't you understand all he waits for you to do is to come to him and receive him as personal Savior? Don't you understand that? He's already made the way for you. He's already done all of that. 1 John, first chapter, he says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." There is not one sin that God will not forgive. What a marvelous, marvelous truth. I don't care what it is you've done. You say, "Brother Ross, you don't know what I've done." Don't make a difference. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. Every single thing, no matter what it is, I don't care how bad it is, God will cleanse it. God will wash it, you see, and wash you clean, you see. That's what the blood of Jesus do. But you got to come to the blood. In Revelation 1:5, he said, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." See, he loved you. He loves you this morning. He cares for you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to get under the blood, get your sins under the blood so they can be washed and cleansed, you see. That's God's desire. That's why the Bible says it speaks better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel cries out for vengeance. The blood of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord, cries out for forgiveness and mercy. Two things. If you've never been forgiven, if you're not saved, this morning you can walk this aisle and you can ask Jesus Christ to save you, and already that is assured that he will do that. Amen? He can do that. He will do that. He wants to do that, you see. He will do that for you. As a Christian, let me say to you, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. But we need to get it under the blood. We think what we do, we just continue our life and just keep living in sin, keep doing it, keep doing it. You see, if we're going to have sweet fellowship with God, it's not going to be. There's no way you can live in sin and have sweet fellowship with God. It's just an impossibility. You can say anything you want to say. If you're living in sin, I'll tell you right now, you're not in sweet fellowship with God. I can tell you that. I can assure you that. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. What I'm saying is, why do we continue that way? Why don't we just get to an old altar of prayer and get before God and cry out to God and say, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And I want to get all these things just under the blood where they belong. And I want to get in a right relationship with Jesus Christ." Amen? See, that God will do that for you. Are you saved this morning? Can you say 100% sure if you died right now you'd go to heaven? Can you say that for sure? If not, I want you to come and walk this aisle this morning and give your heart and life to Christ Jesus, our Lord. Christian, is there a need this morning? You need to just get it something under the blood. You just need to come. You just need to say, "God, forgive me. I'm an old rotten sinner. I've not been doing right. I've not been living right. I need to get my life straight now." Are you willing to do that this morning? And just give it to God and do what you ought to do. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for the wonderful grace of God, and thank you for the shed blood of thy Son. I'm so grateful, Father, that that shed blood cried out, "Oh, Father, for mercy and love and forgiveness." And, Lord, that's the very reason he died there on the cross, Father, was so that we could have forgiveness of sin, every sin, no matter what it might be, every single sin, God, you promised to forgive. And I thank you for that. And God, if there's any here this morning that's not been saved, if they died right today, they wouldn't go to heaven, Father. They'd die, they'd go to hell. Oh, God, help them to know Christ this morning and receive Him as Savior. Father, as Christians, we pray your will be done in our life. For it's in the blessed, wonderful, precious, most wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.